Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And it's Taylor.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. Okay, guys, it's literally Cousins on Crime today because we have another cousin on our show.
Did you catch that?
Taylor Newby, welcome to the show.
Claps, claps, claps.
All right, Taylor, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me.
We thought we would do something a little different for today's episode. And we thought we would do like a Confessions of a Dispatcher. So, Taylor, why don't you tell us what you do for a living? What's your job title?
So I'm a they're called different things in different places. Most common one is like a 911 dispatcher. But they're trying to move the title to emergency communications. So you'll start to see that way we can fall under like first responders and like the government's eyes. But
Oh, good.
I am a supervisor. I've been a supervisor for like 2 years and I've been doing it for seven. I just hit 7 years, so
Wow. I can't believe it's been that long.
it's been a
I
long
know.
time.
I still see her as like 18 and going to
I
college.
know,
Yeah.
exactly. I feel
Playing
like we just had your
softball.
graduation party.
Yeah. And it was supposed to be a temporary job, so here I am.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, isn't it? So, what do you do at work? What are you responsible for?
So we do everything as far as we answer non-emergency lines, emergency lines, and then we're also responsible for the radios, and every agency will be a little different. So we have police, fire, and medical. We also do animal control.
Oh.
So yeah, there's some agencies that are like split up where like they'll only do police, or they will like contract out with like emergency services as far as like medical goes. But we do all of it. So and we're all overlapping. So I could be on the phone taking a medical emergency call and like having to dispatch the fire department, or I can be on a phone call and having to dispatch the police at the same time.
Wow.
And you're literally on the phone and talking on the radio at the same time. So it's a lot of like multitasking.
Yeah.
I've heard that that dispatcher is good for people with ADHD because it gives them some like multiple tasks.
So I actually got diagnosed with ADHD like several months ago,
My goodness.
Wow.
and I like was reading that this is a theory, it hasn't been like verified that I've talked to my doctor about, but they say it like exacerbates your ADHD because like now if I try to focus on one thing, I can't do it even more because
Yeah.
my job is literally like my mind is all over the place.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does help me because everything I do for the most part, I have to do immediately. So I don't have time to
Right.
forget.
Oh, yeah.
when my mind is
Yeah.
going miles an hour. So that's really nice, that part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes you good at your job. And like we need people like that in those situations.
Oh, yeah.
What is the training for like for someone like you? What kind of training do you go through in order to have that job?
Yeah, so everywhere's going to be a little bit different. The state of Texas, it's a 2-week course that you have to go to get your license to do it. And that's just laying down the basics of like how the radios work, how the phones work, what it looks like. And then at your job, they do on the job training. So it's not like it's a little different than your regular job because you can like if you work at Target, you learn how to like stock stuff, but like ours is like obviously at a much larger scale. So where I work right now, our training is from anywhere from 6 to 9 months of learning how to answer the phones, learning how to talk on the radio, and then applying that all together and in big situations. I worked at my previous agency. The training was like 8 weeks. So it just depends on where you're at, what the call load is like, policies, all of that. I'm over the training program at my job now, and I try to make it easy to consume, but it's a lot of information you have to learn.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, you have to be able to do it. We don't want to put you in a situation where you're taking calls and you're not ready.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, in 2 weeks and 8 weeks, that's vastly different. 2 weeks is half of a month.
The 2 weeks,
8 weeks is 2 months.
Yeah, the 2 weeks is just the class for the license. So, which, like I said, it doesn't teach you a whole lot about the actual job. It's just like the background of it.
Yeah. Wow. That, well, and it should be a substantial amount of training. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. It really should be a serious amount of training.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what your switchboard and computers look like. I mean, I've watched, you know, what is the show where they
like Lone Star 911?
Yeah. So I've watched those, and there's like screens everywhere. There's like buttons everywhere, phones everywhere. That gives me anxiety.
I've got 7 screens, 3 mice, 2 keyboards, and a keypad.
Whoa.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
no. That you like to use all at the same time.
Well, I think once you have your brain working that way, it's probably very, like, it flows, probably.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned earlier that this was supposed to be a temporary job for you. How did you find yourself temporarily there, and then how did you find yourself permanently
staying there?
Yeah. So when I was in college, you guys know him, but my ex-husband was trying to get hired at either the town we were living in college or somewhere in the DFW area. So I needed a job. And previously in college, I did an internship with the Abilene Police Department. And I did 150 hours of ride-alongs with officers. And funny enough, one of the officers was complaining about how bad their dispatchers were. And he was like, "You don't seem stupid. You should apply to be a dispatcher." So,
that's the best compliment. You don't seem stupid.
So when it came around, my degree is in criminal justice. So I was looking for any kind of job like that. And I saw that I worked for the Taylor County Sheriff's Office. When I was looking for jobs, they were hiring for that, and I was like, okay, I'll just go do it. And then by the time I started there and then moved to the DFW area, it was about 14 months. And then I was like, well, I already have this license and experience, I can just go move, do that, get a job there, and then reevaluate later, because I originally wanted to go to law school. Mm-hmm. And then turns out I wasn't half bad at it. And then when my life kind of changed, I got divorced, things looked a little different, and then I got promoted. So now it's, I've been, you see, 7 years later, here I am.
They're like, "You're really not stupid. You're actually smart." So yeah.
So,
I mean, I'm kind of impressed with you. So
I'm very impressed. I mean, I remember when you were planning to like take the LSATs and go to law school. Is that something you still might want to do in the future, or you kind of found your calling?
I think it's on the table if it made sense in my life. I don't want to really work and have to do that, but I've always loved it. But I like my job now. It's different every single day, every single call. Like, you never know what's gonna happen, and because my personality and my ADHD, like, the unknowing and the like adrenaline rush. It turns you into an adrenaline junkie, honestly, because you can go like so high and then there's a call and it's craziness. And then by the time it's all said and done, you're like, okay, let's do it again. Which sounds so weird, but so no, I really like my job. My schedule is nice. So I don't hate it by any means.
Yeah. One question I think a lot of people have is, if someone calls 911 and hangs up, do you send the police to their location? Like, does it automatically give you their location?
So there's a lot of misconceptions about the way it works. So yeah, if you call, it's different everywhere. It's hard to speak for everyone. Where I work, if you call on a cell phone and hang up, we don't send anyone because we don't really have like an exact location. Like you could be in
you could be driving
you could be in a strip mall. Like it's hard to send people and waste resources that way.
Yeah.
Right.
If you call on a landline, we will send someone because that is like, you had to go find a phone and press the buttons to do it instead of like cell phones. They also call a ton on accident. We get so many accident calls,
butt dials,
watches, all of it. So we don't send. I know some places do. We just, my department decided it wasn't worth the resources to send when we literally have no idea where you are. Now that being said, they do pinpoint pretty accurately these days. So, especially in the more populated areas, like if you call and you're in like a strip with like multiple businesses, I can tell that you're at that place. My old job was more rural, so it would plot in like an open field. So that's like harder, depending on where you are, but, yeah, they're getting it pretty accurate to where like, I can't see like what bedroom you're in, like the TV shows say, but I can narrow it down to like on top of a house within a couple houses, stuff like that. And then I hear a lot of people that like don't know how 911 works. Like you can't call me in Texas and be like, I need Canada or I need Minnesota. Like people don't do that. And I'm like, no, they do. I'm like, it's not a request service. You don't say like, hey, I need, you know, Boston.
That was back in like the 1900s.
They do that. Or I've heard like someone say that they didn't think they could call 911 because their area code wasn't from here and they didn't think it would come here. Yeah, it's very, very odd what people like get. But if you call 911, it goes to exactly where you are. If you're calling and you need another city because you're calling on someone else's behalf, you need to call where they are.
Okay. That's a good point.
Yeah. So if you feel like someone is in distress and you're trying to reach their 911.
Like a welfare check or something like that.
Yeah.
Because we get a lot of those. And, like, you can call, like, from a couple cities over. Like, if I'm calling from where I am and I need Dallas, like, they can transfer that. But like, we don't have this catalog of like numbers from like Minneapolis or whatever. And so people don't like when you tell them like, hey, you need to hang up and you need to call their non-emergency number, but there's not really a better way to get them. And it's the same people answering the phones. I don't think people realize that either. So it's the same. And if you call with an emergency on the non-emergency number, like you're still going to get a emergent response.
Oh, okay.
All right. That's really interesting. My mom, when I was little, she used to tell me not to dial 911 because they would come to the house. Probably true back in that day because we didn't have cell phones.
Yeah.
When I was little.
Yeah. So lots of kids call you or call 911 still these days?
Yeah, because people give kids their phones to like entertain them and then they end up calling all the time.
I'm sure.
And they'll be like, can I talk to your mom? And they usually say yes or no.
Well, and it's really easy to do because sometimes I'll leave my phone like laying in the playroom and I'll run out to the kitchen to get something and I come back and they've flipped to the emergency call screen, and
Oh
I'm
my
like, no, no, no,
goodness.
no, no.
Yeah.
I don't know how, like, I guess you just swipe to the left or swipe to the or hold the button down or something like that.
I don't know.
But I've never had to use it, luckily. But yeah, I could see where that's happens by accident all the time.
Yeah. And Apple came out with this new thing where they have like a hard fall detector. So if you like drop your phone hard enough, it'll automatically call 911 because it thinks you've been in like a
Whoa.
crash or a
An
fall or something.
accident? Wow. That's incredible, really.
I've gotten, I would say like 60% of them are not real. I've gotten some real ones. I actually, a few weeks ago, saw a guy crash his motorcycle and I got out to help and his phone had called. It was on his
Wow.
screen. Yeah. He asked me to get
You
his phone out
saw
of his pocket.
him? You saw him crash? Like,
Well, he passed us, and then by the time we got up to the hill, he was on the grounds, like crawling to get off the road.
oh
So I
no. Oh
think
my
it's interesting,
gosh.
like you being a dispatcher,
I know.
you've witnessed
You're
quite
like,
a few
hey,
wrecks.
you called? I'm a 911 dispatcher. I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah,
And he
that's what
was
I
like,
called.
what?
Yeah, I called and I gave him the address. I was like, you got a motorcycle down, like you need an ambulance. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go talk to him. And he was fine. So,
Wow.
oh Lord,
So how many prank
motorcycles.
calls do you think you get in a day?
Not too many prank calls anymore. There is the like swatting phenomenon.
Yeah.
That's Oh, I've
so
heard of that.
so that is like my that is like those are like
Okay,
my arch nemesis.
tell people what swatting is if they don't
Okay.
know.
Yeah. So swatting is when people will call and like say they usually are very scripted. So they'll call and they'll be like pretending they're in this house and they'll say I've killed like two of my family members. I've got someone
Wow.
else hostage and I have a gun and I will kill any police officer that comes here.
Oh.
And so you're like okay and you start like putting it in and they'll start
Okay.
they'll give you the address and then they just talk the whole time and most of them are like I said very scripted. So they'll say like I've got them tied up. If you send in one, I will kill the police officers and then they'll start describing the house. They'll say it's a red brick house and there's a white truck in the front. If you pull up Google Images, that's exactly what it looks like. Even
Huh.
if that car's not there because they're not there. And what it started
Right.
as was like people who typically would do it when they could see the house because they like to see the overreaction. But now we've seen that it's like it'll be like it has a lot to do in like the video game community. So if they like make each other mad, they'll just swat their house from like wherever they are.
That's
And there's been people who have gotten killed over it.
Yes. Yes.
So
I've
it's
heard of
like
that. That's
it's
ridiculous.
terrifying. So I fell for it one time, and after that, they have become like I sniff them out immediately
Yeah.
because you're not going to get me again. But the one I had was this it was a girl, and she said, my friend, he gets assaulted by his dad every day, and he gets tied up, and his dad assaults him in his room, but he turns up the music. And so she gave me an address. I put it in, and I was like asking questions. And she was like, he just texted me and said it's about to happen. But she kept talking about how the music was up. And she was like, just go in the house, do not knock, just go in.
Oh
And
no.
I was like, that sounds weird. And then I was like, okay. And she's like, I don't know anything else. I got her name and her phone number. Well, it turns out the address she gave wasn't real, but in my system, it worked because we had that block range. That's a whole nother thing, but it wasn't real. And when I tried to call her back, she actually gave me the phone number to the Spectrum office.
Oh my
So it was like a
gosh.
dead end. And I was so mad about that. So now when I get them, I like call them out. And you never want to like call your callers a liar, right? But sometimes they'll, like one that I kind of busted, he said that he had killed someone and he was hiding under the bed at the hotel in our city, but you can't get under those beds. And
Right.
when I said that, he hung up immediately.
Wow.
And then we've had one, which this one could have been really bad, but luckily it was about a high school in our town, and they said that there were shooters. There were three shooters at the school. And luckily the girl taking the call had went to that particular high school. So they said, I don't know, but I can see them from the library. I can see them in the parking lot from the library. And she said, you can't see the parking lot from the library. Uh-huh. And they hung up. Had another dispatcher who didn't go to that school got that call, we would have put that in, and it would have, we did put it in to go check, but like we would have put it in as something much bigger, and like
all hands on deck.
Yes. And wow. It would have caused mass chaos and like all of that. But because she knew that you couldn't see outside from the library, we were able to handle that like a little differently.
Well, that kind of proves that it's important for y'all as dispatchers to know your town, know your city, and the layout.
And then sometimes we can figure out who they are and they can get charged. A lot of times, like, it's people from other states, so that goes, like, federal. So they're committing federal crimes when they do that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, those are ones that just really grind my gears because I fell for it once.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to get me again. Once.
Well, and the fact that you say you don't want to call your callers a liar, it made me think of this one call from this lady on I Survived. She was describing her call to the dispatcher or to 911, and she's like, my hands are tied. And she's like, the dispatcher said, your hands are tied. And she said, yes, duct tape. And like this lady was passing out, in and out, coming to. And so she said, yes, with duct tape. And the 911 dispatcher was like, so then how are you calling me? Like just talking to her like she's stupid. And I was like, poor lady.
Yeah. Well, we hear 911 calls all the time, I feel like, where the lady's like, they're like, I've been shot. And she said, ma'am, I need you to calm down.
Yes.
ma'am, please.
That drives me crazy.
Get someone here now. I've been shot. I'm dying. Okay, you need to just calm down because they're on their way. And if you keep screaming, that does nothing to get them there faster. And I'm just like, I mean, they have a job to do. I totally get it. This question is not on our list, but it's just coming to me now, but do y'all have any psychology or like crisis, training when it comes to like handling people? I mean, there, of course there's like, you have to route the calls, you have to do all the mechanics and the logistics, but when it comes to talking to people, is there anything like that you guys are trained on?
Kind of. We have a lot of classes that we can take that will help. I will say I've taken a lot of psychology classes in college. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that helped me kind of read between the lines. Like, you know, when you ask someone a question and they don't really answer it, I'll say like, do you still have the gun? And they're like, well, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that wasn't a yes. That wasn't a no. I need you to tell me, do you have the gun? Mm-hmm. So stuff like that, I feel like helped. And it's kind of like, you have to be criminally minded. Like you have to think like a criminal, because a lot of times when they're calling about crimes, they're involved at, you know, some point. And they'll leave that part out. So sometimes you have to ask questions like, this doesn't make any sense because they're trying to like leave their part out. But I have trained people who have taken, like one girl I trained had a degree in psychology and she did a lot better than someone who did not. Mm-hmm. And that's not a requirement at all, but I feel like talking to people, understanding what they're saying, when they're not saying it is really helpful in our job and it makes you better. And unfortunately there's not really a class on that I have access to, but I have tried to add something into our training program where it kind of teaches that to people who don't have any experience, because it makes our job easier when you know how to navigate like people lying to you and trying to hide the truth or whatever. I'm sure there's probably some class somewhere that teaches that, but it is something that's necessary for our job.
But I can too imagine that the more calls you take, the more experience you have in the job, the more you pick up on and the more you understand about people and lying. Yeah. Like you said, I know that they're lying. I know, you know, so.
Yeah.
Just
and
like
our job as trainers, like I try to point that out when I get someone who doesn't have any experience in dispatching. After I'll let them take the call. And then after I'll be like, do you notice how they said this? And I'm like, that probably means that they meant this. Or did you notice how they didn't answer your question? You need to re-ask it. So you can get the answer that you need. Because sometimes they'll gloss over questions. And, obviously our main concern is officer safety, like civilian safety. So, if they, like I said, if they don't answer a question about a gun or a weapon or something and they kind of gloss over it, that needs to be re-asked.
Are you guys trying to ask open-ended questions? You like trying to get as much information as possible, or are you just
It depends on the situation,
or like even keep them talking, like if they say someone's hurt or they did something or they found somebody unconscious. I mean, you want to keep them talking, right? That's what I've heard.
Yeah. So we try not to ask leading questions because that'll get you like wrapped up in court. But I want you to tell me in your words. So if it's a police matter, usually open-ended questions, unless it's something specific like weapons, like suspect description, stuff like that. If it's medical, we use a program that is called EMD. It's emergency medical dispatching. And it's a company that made these scripts that we say. So they have decided that, like, if I ask you, like, are you responding appropriately? If you say yes or no, it shunts you to another question. And then it goes from there. And that way, cause we're not medically trained that much. Right. So it's a medical company that has decided that these questions are pertinent to, response times, what kind of response you get. And then as long as we stick to the script, if we got sued, we would be protected by the company and not held liable. So I know how to like do CPR over the phone, deliver a baby over the phone, apply a tourniquet over the phone, all kinds of stuff. And we have all of that at our disposal because we use that company. And those questions are yes, no, stuff like that. So we get a more accurate answer of where we need to go next for the next question.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Lina, what's your next question?
So you kind of answered this earlier when you said you are multitasking. How does it work when people call 911? Like, what do you do on the other line as the person's talking? So earlier you said you could be dispatching to police and all this.
So, for example, if I'm taking a medical emergency call, I'm getting the address. When you tell me, and then I'll ask the questions and I've got my program up. But before I get in the program, my agency uses this. I just hit a button and it sends the tones to the fire stations. But some places you have to, like, while they're talking, you have to say it yourself. So you have to like bump out the fire department and say like, engine 501, medic 501, I need you to respond to this address. And the people are talking in your ear and they're telling you that their family member is not okay. And they're talking and you're like, and I need you to respond to breathing problems at this location. And they're still talking and you have to be like, hang on, hold on a second. Cause they can't hear you. And then you gotta keep going with your thing and you gotta say it and make sure they have all the information. And then you go back to them and start asking them the questions that you need to ask. And then while the fire department's getting on the way, you've got more information and then you'll give them the update. Like you're responding on like a 50-year-old male with like heart problems or something like that. And the whole time they're still talking in your ear.
Oh, so,
ma'am, please calm down. I'm trying to talk to the fire department.
Yeah. Try not to do that sometimes. If it's a police call, like I've taken like road rage or assaults in progress where like something bad is happening on the phone and I'm having to like tell police like with each note I'm getting. So like we get a lot of road rage or people like to chase each other and like pull guns or whatever. So the caller will tell me and I'll have to like put it in the call and then like update the officer with every like street where they're turning, where they're going, what they're passing. So yeah, you have to do it all at once and do your best sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, thank goodness it's all recorded in case you need to go back and listen.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, but
it's so interesting.
Just typing. If I'm not dispatching the call, then I'm just typing, and one of my partners is dispatching it and doing all of that. But sometimes either the phones are busy or we just don't have enough people where you have to do it all at once.
So that's another question I have is how many people do y'all typically have on shift at a time?
So I work for the town is about 80,000 people. We only are required to have two dispatchers on, but right now we're almost fully staffed, so we've got like four.
Wow.
On my shift, I'm a supervisor, and I'll either have like two or three dispatchers on at a time, and that is covering about 12 to 15 officers on the streets and seven fire stations.
Wow.
Where I work, we're trying to get more dispatchers to be like minimum. The town that I work for, we haven't added any dispatch positions to like grow with the town. So like there used to be like three fire stations. Now there's seven. They've grown that, but they haven't grown the amount of dispatchers required. So they're putting a lot more on us.
Right.
You know, and just like expecting us to do it all. But yeah, some nights it's just me and one other person and
oh my goodness.
We can get slammed. Yeah.
Whoa. And are you working tomorrow? Tomorrow's July 4th.
I am, but I'm working. It is. That is one of the busier days in like the dispatch world. But I'm just working an event. The town I work for throws an event. So I'll actually be dispatching just for the event. And we have a mobile home that's equipped with radios and computers and stuff. So, or not a mobile home, like an RV. So we'll be in the RV dispatching for the event if anything happens at the event.
Well, that's really smart. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Whoa. That's.
Yeah.
That's insane that there's only two of you sometimes.
Yeah.
For and there's 80,000 people.
There's places that have like one at night.
You know.
Wow.
My parents had a call 911 a couple of years ago. It may have been a year ago. My dad was having a stroke.
I remember that.
And
they had to
they
wait.
Could not get a hold of 911.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
they would not answer the phone.
I've had to transfer to like Dallas or Fort Worth, and I've literally like had because they have this recording that's like someone will be with you shortly, it'll be answered in the order it came in. I've transferred someone and been on hold for like 15 minutes, and one of them was like a kind of serious call, so I didn't want to hang up because I didn't want to just let them sit there in case something happened. But not like I could do anything. But yeah, there's like big cities, it's scary.
Yeah,
Lena, I totally forgot about that until you just said that.
Yeah, I mean,
and
it puts it into perspective listening to her.
Like, what? Mm-hmm. Why didn't they answer immediately? But now that you say sometimes there's not enough people there to answer the phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's just so many calls. And like a lot of places are short staffed. It's pretty normal in our industry. There's just not a lot of people that want to do it. We get all of the cons of like law enforcement or public safety work with like zero recognition, right? Like people love police officers, they love firefighters.
Yeah.
No one
yeah.
thinks about dispatch, but we have mm-hmm. to deal with the lifestyle, the shift work, the PTSD, the stress, the trauma. It's all of that with like bad pay and like no recognition.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, no one wants to do the job. So some places are out here struggling.
Well, I appreciate y'all.
We appreciate it.
Yes.
Thanks.
And let me ask you this. If I called 911 and nobody answered, And if I call back and nobody's answering, what do I do? If, say, I'm having an emergency, can I call the police station? Do I call, like, yeah, is there someone else I can call?
So it's designed, it's supposed to like roll over. So like if your city doesn't answer, it's supposed to roll to like a neighboring city. So they could hopefully like try to get some help. But unfortunately, like hanging up and calling the non-emergency line doesn't really help because it's the same people.
Yeah.
that makes that were sense. If that were to ever happen, I don't... Maybe call the non-emergency line to like a neighboring city and be like, I'm having an emergency, they're not answering, or something like that.
Yeah.
Hopefully that never happens, but yeah, they're designed to like roll over.
Yeah, in my mom and dad's situation, my brother, I mean, y'all know he's a firefighter, and he used to work at that fire department where they were calling in that city. And so my mom called my brother. He called someone at the fire department, and then the fire department actually came to the house to check on my dad. So it's just like it's scary.
Yeah, that is really scary.
There's like, I think people don't think about that when they move places. Like, I wouldn't want to live in Dallas because they have wait times on their calls. But I've also worked in a really rural area where, like, it took 45 minutes for an ambulance because they were just so far and their dispatchers aren't trained in EMD or medical services, and they're not required to know CPR. So you're just getting someone, like, when I worked at the county I worked in, I didn't know anything. I was 21 years old. I had no medical background, and I was just, like, telling people to, like, try their best and, like, hang on before someone can get there. Which is terrifying. Like, now that I'm trained in so much and I have all this access to these programs and these trainings and stuff, it's terrifying. Because I literally, like, people were just like, you know, those medical myths that you hear, like, growing up when you don't really know, they were telling people on the phone that, you know. So yeah, it's something to think about when you're thinking about where you want to live. And I know, like, country living is really appealing, but
yeah,
emergency response should also be something that you think about.
Yeah, I think about that. Like, I want to live in the country, but at the same time, like, where's the closest hospital?
Exactly. Uh-huh. I think we were thinking about that when our parents bought the farm.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know, they were kind of looking at, you know, our Grammy's going to live there. So where's the nearest hospital? Mm-hmm. Like, do they care flight? Like, what's the... Those are things that you really should think about. Those are very smart things. Mm-hmm. What is like the most intense, and these next couple questions might go together, but what's the most intense situation you've ever had on the job? And like, have you ever had any high profile calls that turned into a high profile case?
Let's see. Probably the most intense probably is the same, high profile. We had someone shoot three of our police officers. They were all fine, but it was a guy that previously we've been dealing with for years, but he previously tried to kill himself, and he actually shot up through his chin out his forehead and didn't kill himself. He just like took out part of his frontal lobe.
Wow.
Aye, aye, aye.
So we had gotten calls on him before, so we had dealt with him. His wife wanted to make a report about him holding a gun to her head. And she actually called like 30 minutes before this all happened, called the detective to drop the charges on him. So we didn't know that at the time, of course. So we get a call from the wife. She had run to the neighbor's house and said to call 911. Because her husband had held a gun to her head again. While she was running on the way out, she heard a gunshot, so she thought he shot himself. So we send officers over there, but because we had dealt with him and he's pretty volatile, they decided to walk up to the door with shields, and two of them were SWAT officers. So they decided to put their SWAT gear on. So as they approached the house, he shot through the door and shot all three of them.
Oh my gosh.
So I wasn't there for that. I got called in because I'm SWAT certified. So I work SWAT incidents. So I got called in to work the 10-hour SWAT call out. We had a 10-hour standoff with him.
Wow.
Oh my god.
He decided to barricade himself in there and inside his house. And they tried to ask him to come out. They turned off the power to get him to come out. They put gas in the house to come out. And the city I work for is not very like proactive. Like, we're always going to wait it out to see if we can end it peacefully. We're not as aggressive as other places. And then we got a robot from a neighboring agency. They were just going to, open the door, like shoot the door handle out, open the door so we could get a drone in there just to see where he was.
Wow.
When it went up to the door, he started shooting through the door again. And so they were like, that was probably like 6 hours in. And then they realized, they probably couldn't handle it as peacefully as they would like. So the FBI actually showed up.
Wow.
With their armored car, and they just started driving through the garage. They were just, just drove through, the house, and he came out with his hands up after they, decided to destroy the house, which my agency would never do. That's just not, their policy.
That's big time stuff.
It lasted 10 hours. That's probably the longest I've ever been stressed, like that high stress level. I do love adrenaline. I do love the fun calls, pursuits, all that stuff. But my adrenaline dump after that, I felt awful because you shouldn't be that stressed for that long.
Well, your nervous system can't take a protracted period of heightened, you know, like that fight or flight for that long of time. That is insane.
Yeah. Wow. And I had been the only one at my agency that had experienced an officer involved shooting before. At my old job. So I was a little bit more mentally prepared. But when the FBI showed up, I was like talking to myself about like, okay, I have to be ready for like, if they shoot this guy, what that's going to do to them, to me, you know, just being mentally prepared for that. Thankfully he came out and we didn't have to do that. But yeah, it felt awful after the fact.
Wow. Oh, wow. It definitely takes a special person.
Let me ask you a personal question that I just thought of. Do you go to therapy, or do
I
you?
I was going
to
ask that as
Do you
well.
Have like an outlet or something that you are taking care of yourself and your mental health?
I don't go to therapy. We have access to it. My agency works with counselors, and we use like first responder specific ones. I don't really. There hasn't been a call that's affected me like too much. I've been doing it quite a while, so you kind of get used to it. But thankfully, like, my best friend works with me now, so she understands it. I have a lot of friends that I can like talk to about it.
That's good.
My other best friend is a nurse, so she kind of understands that. So I just have a support system that I can talk to.
That's great.
I definitely would use it if I needed to, but I feel like the only calls that like kind of still stick with me, it's been so long that I've just like dealt with it, thought about it, you know, handled that. So.
Yeah. I think that it's great that you guys have those resources. Would you say that kind of heaviness is probably the most challenging part of your job, or do you think there are other things that are more challenging?
I think it depends on the person. You know, like, I've always known that I wanted to work in this capacity from like a young age. So I feel like my personality was more equipped to handle it. I've worked with people who are, you know, they wear their heart on their sleeve, and it affects them a lot more. I have noticed between myself and other people, the calls that you can relate to the most, like, hit you the hardest.
Yeah.
So, like, I've had a friend, like, take a drowning call for a little girl who had a little girl the same age. So after she got off the phone, she said, "I need a minute." And she went and bawled because she was like, the whole time I was on the phone, I was just thinking about my daughter. And we, like, one specifically for me, we had a murder a few years ago, and it was over, like, video games and Twitch and stuff. And, you know, my brothers play video games. So that one I had, like, I had nightmares about it. Because I can kind of tell the story on this one, but the guy drove all the way from California to Texas to kill this kid.
Oh, I remember that story.
Over Twitch. Yeah. So that was, like, one of those where he had been, like, threatening to kill the guy for, like, 5 years, but, like, how serious do you take, you know, online gaming threats or whatever? And yeah, he drove down from California, killed him, drove straight back. We flew some detectives out there to just execute a search warrant of, like, the computers, the house, or whatever. They went out there with the SWAT team for whatever city it was. And the guy killed himself while we were outside. So,
wow.
Yeah, that one kind of, like, resonated with me because, you know, when it hits home, when you realize, like, that could be you or someone you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, there's definitely, you just have to know how to handle things, like, know yourself. If you need a minute to step away, we can do that. We just got a new manager that gave us a relaxation room. So we have a couch in there, a white noise machine. So if you need to go have a minute, you can have a minute. And as a supervisor, I just try to check on my people.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. So earlier you were talking about you training others as they come in. Do you remember your first call that you had as a dispatcher?
I don't remember my first call. I remember, like, big ones, like my first, like, robbery, or, like, the first time someone, like, died while I was on the phone with them. Stuff like that. Yeah. I always kind of remember your first ones. I feel like the first time that someone died on the phone with me was, like, my worst one. So that one, like, sticks with me.
Oh my
the
God.
Most.
I can't imagine.
But yeah, I have no idea what my first one is. I do remember my trainer. I do remember my trainer didn't tell me that I was answering 911 calls that day. It just rang and she was like, "Answer that." And I was like, "Ah!" And I panicked and answered it.
Chicken shack, fries, thighs, and apple pies. How may I help you? You're like, "Oh my gosh, I'm answering 911 calls."
I heard that dispatcher, when she just started taking calls, she answered the phone and or answered the call, and she turns to her supervisor and she's like, "I can't do this. Like, you're going to have to take over the call." And he's like, "You turn around and you talk to this person like you're doing this." And it's like it just clicked in her mind, and she turned around and she just did it, and she impressed herself. So,
yeah, sometimes you just gotta, like, throw people in there as a trainer because they will psych themselves out. And you're like, you know, but then you get to a point in your career where you just do it. Like, people will ask, like, how do you do all of this at the same time? Or how do you, you know, handle all that? And, like, the only answer I can give is, like, you just do it. Like, it has
you
to be
do
done.
The dang thing.
Things are things are happening and you just get it done.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think the last question I have, Candace, I don't know if you have another one, but do y'all allow people who are interested in the career to come and do, like, a sit along?
Yeah. So my agency actually requires it when you're in the process of applying. But yeah, if someone wants to come in, like someone I know wants to come in, or you don't even really have to be interested. If you just want to see, you can come sit in. We have to, like, run you and make sure that you haven't been arrested for, like, any felonies, stuff like that, because dispatch which people don't know, we have access to more things than officers and detectives have. Mm-hmm. So we actually have like higher requirements than them because of that. So we have to be really careful who we allow to sit in the dispatch center because we have sense. Access to
addresses and.
Well, yeah, like criminal histories. And I didn't say this earlier, but we also like handle the criminal histories, running people, the warrants, protective orders.
Wow.
All of that goes through us. So, yeah, you have to be careful about who you let in there.
Wow.
Dang.
That's a big job.
Well, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Are you guys, is your agency hiring right now?
Or yes. Are you guys?
Okay. Here's a, there you go. Advertise.
Yeah, I work for the Flowermount Police Department. We are hiring, and we just did a huge like pay bump. So we're like starting at like over $26 an hour.
Nice.
So yeah, but it's nights, weekends, holidays, all of that jazz. So.
Oh yeah, be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And no recognition or appreciation whatsoever. But $26 an hour.
I mean, that's what she all said holidays. Earlier.
Yeah. Sometimes I work for like the place I work, they like the police and they will always like take care of us, so that's nice, but there are places where police are hated, you know. Yeah. Stuff like that, and we're like kind of lumped in with them. But I've had people like this guy fell off a ladder and broke his leg, and he just wanted me to tell him jokes while he was laying on the ground. But sometime in the middle of that, I was like, hey, what's your garage code so they can get in, because he couldn't get up and there was no one else there. And he like thought that was so genius, even though that's like normal protocol for us. But he wrote a letter to like the police chief and like to town council, like recognizing me for like what I did.
No, you were the perfect person for that call, because I mean, you're pretty funny. You're a funny gal.
That was my time to shine. Yeah.
I want the recording of that call.
Yeah, that actually was not the only time I told a joke on a call, but the other time was on accident. So this guy was like mudding and he got his Hummer stuck, and I was like, okay, so what color and kind of vehicle is it? Or I said, what color is it so I can find you? And he said camo, and I was like, are they gonna be able to see you? And then he was like, what? And I was like, oh, I mean, like, they're on their way, okay, bye.
Don't mind me.
It came out before I could stop myself. And I was like, oh, that's recorded, so someone could hear that.
Yeah.
They're gonna play that in court. Like, this is this mudding incident is connected to something else, and now you're gonna be in court.
It's funny. Like, what did you mean by that?
I know. Well, it's funny that you mentioned like court earlier in our conversation, because you know, I feel like, you know, as a true crime junkie, you know that this is obviously we like to go back to the 911 call. We want to hear the very first time this person made contact, what they said, what was the first thing out of their mouth, you know, after they killed their family and they're trying to hide this or whatever.
Right.
And I feel like detectives are really, you know, they're very careful. Well, some of them are very careful with reading Miranda rights, because they know, you know, how they have to do it. And it's interesting that you mentioned that. Is that something you guys think about when you're talking, like on these calls?
Yeah, sometimes. So I actually teach my people to, like, when you answer the phone, to wait a second, because sometimes you can hear things that the caller doesn't realize that you've picked up yet. So sometimes you can hear like a struggle or a scuffle. Or them saying, like, I didn't take this call, but I've heard in the background someone saying, like, where's the gun, before the dispatch answered, or the dispatcher, like, answered. So I try to teach people to just, like, not long, just a couple seconds. If you can't hear anything, like, go ahead. But that's one thing that I'm cognizant of. As far as like being mindful, the only thing that I'm really worried about is not asking leading questions, because that will get picked apart in court, and we do have to go to court sometimes and answer for why we asked this question or what, you know. You know how like defense attorneys are, they'll try to apart anything. So yeah, you know, you don't want to get yourself in a situation where they're just claiming that the caller agreed with you because you put that thought in their head or something. So yeah, it happens.
Wow. And the it starts recording the minute someone calls 911, right? Like I know like in the JonBenet Ramsey case, they thought they heard the parents talking to her little brother or her big brother, I guess it was. And so there was some controversy about that.
It depends on like where you work, the like technology that you use and stuff. Mine does. We are like, we're like one of the leaders in this area in Texas as far as like technology. We have like this thing called Rapid SOS now, where if you call and the person's put this information in your phone, I can see your emergency contacts, what medication you're on, allergies, stuff like that. We also have worked with the school district in our town, so now I can see the exact room that someone's calling from in a school and door number. So if you call me and say there's a shooter and you're in this room, I can tell what officer, I can tell officers what door you need to go in. And we have tours for like Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts a lot. And I always am sure to tell the parents that like our schools have really stepped it up with working with our police department and giving us the layouts and stuff, because I think it's really important to like keep everyone safe. But yeah, we have access to a lot of really good technology, and we can like, they're trying to work on video chatting, video 911s, which I feel like is concerning for me because we're now being subjected to seeing stuff when we weren't before. But I also understand like we will be able to get a better description of things without having to ask, or without the caller being able to lie about it, or like like sometimes they'll be like, oh, the car is this kind and this color, and it's not, like it's just not. So put giving us eyes on scene, knowing exactly what we need to know, I think is going to help our response, help officer safety, help catch things that a caller normally wouldn't. So I have mixed feelings about that, because I'm just like thinking about the trauma. Because my city also already, we have to watch all the cameras outside of the PD. We have to watch the jail cameras too, because our jailers have other jobs that they do, and I have literally seen like someone die on the camera and then let the jailer know, and the jailer started CPR and the guy actually came back to life. But I saw him like fall out.
You saved his life.
Yes. Yes, without even answering a phone that time. And we also have traffic cameras around the town, so I've seen someone like, I've seen car accidents, I've seen someone pull a gun on someone else. It's like, do I want more of that? But yeah, there's places moving towards video 911. So
what about texting? What about texting 911?
Yeah, there's places that have it. I feel like that's more common nowadays. It can be helpful. I've had, the problem with it is people want to use it like a tip line. They want to say, hey, I see a dog locked in a car at this place, you need to send someone. Or like, yeah, oh, they're just like, oh, there's people acting weird over here. And like, that's not really how 911 works. We need more descriptions. We have to ask questions. So that's my like beef with texting. I have had situations where they couldn't talk. I had someone who was like, she claimed to be held against her will, but it was really like a rolling domestic in a car. So she needed help, but it wasn't like exactly what she had said originally. But she couldn't talk, and she was able to text me where they were, the streets they were crossing, that he had a weapon, all of that stuff. But there's a delay in texting, which is also a problem. So it's good when it's used for like those situations where they can't talk, or, you know, they don't want someone who's with them to know that they've called. But yeah, a lot of people try to use it as just like a, oh, I want to like let them know, but not really try, and just be like, oh, someone's doing something over here, and that's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have panhandlers.
Yeah. There's kids trespassing at the school or something like that. Yeah.
Someone's dog is barking and it won't shut up.
It's 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
It's July 3rd and someone's setting off fireworks.
That's going to be happening tonight for sure.
They've been doing that since the 30th of June around these parks, I tell you. Well, Taylor, I feel like I could just keep asking you questions. Like, the more I talk to you, the more questions I feel like I'm coming up with, but I don't want to take your whole night. So thank you so, so much for joining us. And, you know, I don't know how much our audience knows about how many cousins we have, but it's a million. We have a million cousins. And, you know, Taylor's a dispatcher. We have an officer. We have a firefighter, EMT. We have, you know, all these people.
Yeah, and my brother works out of prison.
That's right. Yeah. He is a corrections officer. We've got to get him on too, because I feel like he's probably
he'll have some stories.
So I hope you guys really loved this episode. It was so fun for me and so informative. I learned a lot. I feel like I already knew a lot because I've watched TV and stuff, because, you know, TV makes you smart.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have a PhD in TV. but I have really learned a lot here. So thank you so much. And tell us where people can stalk you if they want to. If you want them to.
Do you want them to?
Do you want them to? Are you still doing a podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a podcast, a hockey podcast. I'm writing for hockey, but I'm easily found on Twitter at Dallas Stars Tay. I tweet about my job sometimes, mostly hockey, but and then my Instagram is Tornado Taylor. So
nice. And tell us about your podcast. If you guys like sports, hockey.
Yeah, it's about hockey. Sometimes we talk about baseball. It's called Two Girls, One Stanley Cup.
That's inappropriate. This is a family show. Keep it clean.
Yeah. So it's probably X-rated. So, we just talk about hockey on there if you're into hockey.
Cool. Well, check her out, guys. And thank you again so much, Taylor. We love you, little cuz.
Glad I got to see your face. Love you.
Love you.
Well, thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating so that other true crime fans can find us.
If you have any case suggestions or just want to say hey, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, where we post case photos and information at Cousins on Crime Podcast.